Senator Ron Johnson says he's on board with the idea of killing the filibuster rule after President Donald Trump pushed for the idea. That's a change in course from Johnson's opposition just a few years ago. It's Thursday, November 6th, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, more data center drama as We Energies is looking to add almost 3 gigawatts of new power generation in the state to meet the demands of data centers. And a Canadian mining company has announced a deal to secure around $7 million to fund more drilling in Taylor County. Stay with us.
Hi, it's Steve Inskeep. There are many ways to make mornings more interesting. You can set a festive new alarm ringtone. Wake up on the wrong side of the bed on purpose. Put hazelnut spread on your toast. Sing all the parts to your favorite musical in the shower.
Edelweiss, Edelweiss.
And after the applause dies down, you can listen to Morning Edition from NPR News every weekday.
Wisconsin U.S. Senator Ron Johnson says Republicans should kill the Senate's filibuster rule and pass laws without needing Democratic support. As Rich Kramer reports, that's a reversal from his position of just 3 years ago.
The filibuster is a longtime Senate rule requiring 60 votes to pass legislation. It's why a short-term federal government funding bill has not passed despite majority support. 3 years ago, Johnson railed against Democrats attempting to kill the filibuster. He announced his new position Wednesday after President Donald Trump told GOP senators to end the rule. Republican Congressman Glenn Grothman says the filibuster is frustrating, but senators are leery about axing it.
I have talked to many senators, more than just Senator Johnson, and the overwhelming majority, including the most conservative senators who I would have thought want to get rid of the rule, defend the rule.
Amid what is now the longest shutdown in U.S. history, Wisconsin Democrats and Republicans have repeatedly blamed one another for the stalemate. Rich Kramer, Wisconsin Public Radio.
The state organization that oversees most Wisconsin high school athletic programs is pushing back on a proposal to make their meetings and records public. The Senate Education Committee heard testimony this week on a bill that would force the Wisconsin Interscholastic Athletic Association to comply with state public records and open meetings laws. John Gard has been a high school cross-country coach in Green Bay for nearly 20 years. He says WIAA policies have cost students college scholarships or chances to compete in state tournaments. Gard says the board's decisions should be made in public.
Hundreds of coaches and kids now realize that they have no input, no voice, and no respect. They hoped they were valued, but they aren't. The fear of retribution is real.
WIAA leaders say the organization does not receive taxpayer money, so its meetings can remain private. Canadian mining company Greenlight Metals has announced a deal to secure around $7 million to fund more drilling in Taylor County. As Danielle Kading reports, the funds would also support exploration of its Lobo sites near Crandon.
The company, which does business in the state as Greenlight Wisconsin, reached the agreement with two Toronto-based investment banking firms. The deal is set to close by the end of November. Steve Donahue is a director on the mining company's board. He says it shows the market's confidence in its exploration activities.
We're very confident that the programs that we implement will result in the definition of economically viable deposits.
Environmental advocates say the company hasn't proved that yet. The Bend deposit is believed to contain more than 4 million tons of ore containing primarily copper and gold. Greenlight plans to drill 15 more holes at the site this winter, but the company must still obtain federal and state approvals. Danielle Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Wisconsin lawmakers are considering a bill that would clarify the definition of abortion in state law. It would state that certain procedures for treating pregnancy complications or managing pregnancy loss are not abortion. The same procedures are often used in both circumstances, and that's led to some medical providers reporting fear of treating pregnant patients. The bill's co-author, Representative Joy Gobin of Hobart, argued the bill will dispel that fear.
The bill does not create or impose penalties or restrictions on abortion. It simply takes away the fear that has been imposed surrounding the issue of actual health care for women.
The bill is so far only backed by Republicans and by major statewide anti-abortion groups and the Wisconsin Catholic Conference. Democrats have argued for increased abortion access, arguing that that will dispel those concerns about what care is or is not allowed. We Energies is asking state regulators to approve its plan to add nearly 3 gigawatts of power to the electric grid. As Joe Schultz reports, it comes in response to expected surges in energy demand from data centers.
The utility plans to build and take ownership stakes in 7 planned solar projects and 1 battery project. It also plans to do the same with 2 new natural gas power plants, as well as upgrade existing power facilities. Dan Kruger is an executive for We Energy's parent company. He says the mix of renewables and natural gas reflects the company's all-of-the-above approach to energy generation.
That's why we propose that mix. It's to provide as much energy as we can at the lowest price possible while making sure that everything is in place to ensure reliability does not flinch.
The plans need to be approved by the State Public Service Commission. We Energies says the renewable projects will send energy to the grid every day, while the natural gas plants will be used primarily during peak demand times. Joe Schultz, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Meanwhile, Port Washington's Common Council approved a tax incremental financing plan for a massive data center campus in the city this week. That's despite widespread opposition from residents. The $15 billion campus is for Oracle and OpenAI. Vantage Data Centers is the developer. They'll pay $175 million in infrastructure costs for the project. That money will be repaid through revenue generated by the tax increment district. Rebecca Grease is the executive director of the Milwaukee 7 Regional Partnership. She spoke in favor of the plan.
This one specifically is unique because it takes the tax revenue that this project generates that the city currently does not have to support itself.
An analysis by Clean Wisconsin said the campus would use 54 million gallons of water every day if it gets power from non-renewable energy sources. Coming up, we'll get some advice on some of the best ways to enjoy Wisconsin's outdoors as we head into that colder weather. Stay with us.
You tune into Wisconsin Public Radio for news you can trust, conversations that draw you in, and music and entertainment that make your day better. The largest source of funding for everything you value on WPR is listener support. Join the team that makes WPR possible. Become a sustaining member. Make an ongoing monthly gift and share WPR with your entire community. It's easy to sign up at WPR.org.
And finally, temperatures are falling, but Wisconsinites can still enjoy plenty of outdoor recreational activities like hiking, biking, and kayaking. From the Apostle Islands National Lakeshore to the North Country Trail to the Ice Age Trail, the state of Wisconsin actually offers more than 2,500 trails. Wisconsin's Kenneth Casper dedicates his life to the great outdoors and shares local destinations to visit through his online blog called Wisconsin Explorer. Casper joins us now to share where people can get their steps in while enjoying the crisp fall air and colors. So you are a Wisconsinite through and through. You grew up in Wisconsin and you've always loved the outdoors. Tell me a little bit about what you have been doing this fall, that paddling and canoeing. Where have you been?
So in September, I was up in the Boundary Waters for a week. And then in late September, we had a run of really good weather. And I thought, you know, there's probably peak colors up there. So I ran up to a place called Sylvania Wilderness, which is just across the border in the UP, just up the road from Eagle River. And it was a fantastic trip. It was really colorful with the leaves, and I got a great show of northern lights and had a terrific time for 4 days just paddling and fishing.
You know, we've been kind of blessed with some warmer weather, at least up until this point so far. So water sports might actually still be on people's mind. We've talked about it a little bit, but what are some other places you recommend going to this time of year?
Yeah, so I like to do most of my canoe camping in the northern part of the state. And one of the best places that I found this year is the Northern Highlands State Forest. There's flatwater lakes, rivers, and they're all connected by portages. So you can find free campsites last minute, and you can really get immersed in the wilderness up there. As we're progressing through the later portion of fall, it's kind of better to focus your hiking and outdoor activities on the southern part of the state, so south of Wausau, I think. And my favorite area is the Driftless area, which is the southwestern part of the state. There's lots of hills and rivers and plenty of forests, so if you're looking for those fall colors, we're in peak right now, and we should be there for a couple weeks.
All right, so I understand that you have a list of places that you can go to hike and camp throughout, you know, the months of October and November. Is there any place that you're planning to go that people should also consider?
Yeah, I think, you know, and like I mentioned, the Driftless area is like always been attractive to me. What I like to do out there is make like a driving tour with a bunch of short hikes in between. So one example is I might start, find my way to Richland Center and then drive towards the heart of the Driftless area, which is the Kickapoo River Valley Reserve. Along that road, you'll be able to stop at places like Rockbridge County Park, which is this short hike, but really interesting. You go through a stone tunnel and come out by a little creek, and there's plenty of fall colors to see there. And then you hop back in the car and make your way up to Wildcat Mountain State Park, where there's a number of great hikes. My favorite one there is the Hemlock Hardwoods Trail, which is on the other side of the road from Wildcat Mountain State Park, down by the canoe launch is where it starts. It's a pretty hard trail because it's a lot of climbing, but you are in the trees and you have beautiful views of the Kickapoo River.
All right, since you're really experienced in all this stuff, I got to ask, is there any, you know, area that is really not well known that you think folks should check out? Maybe something that a lot of people don't know about?
Yeah, that's a fair question. I think there's a lot of places that fall under the radar. I think when you're thinking about this time of year and it starts to get cold, one thing that people don't think about is these off-the-grid camper cabins that you can hike into. There's one in the Burnett County Forest. You can reserve it, and you hike in just a couple miles. There's no electricity or plumbing, but there is a potbelly stove, so you can be warm, staying overnight, and just be really immersed in the wild.
Kenneth, thanks for joining us.
Thanks a lot, Alex.
That was blogger Kenneth Casper talking about the top destinations to visit this fall to enjoy hiking, biking, and kayaking. And of course, we'll end with a quick check of your forecast. Mostly cloudy and windy across the state today. Highs in the 40s and 50s, but wind gusts up near 20 miles per hour today. Still cloudy and windy overnight with a slight chance for some light rain in eastern parts of the state. Lows down into the 30s and 40s. And that'll do it for this Thursday. Thanks for being here for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producer today was Courtney Everett. As always, have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again soon.